Hello, everyone. This is the award-winning entrepreneur, O.D. Harris, here with another Entrepreneurship Report. Today, I have a founder, a CEO of Strategic Media. He hails from the great city of Los Angeles. He is a music producer, a TV producer. He's worked with artists like Adina Howard, Tyrese Gibson. He is a phenomenal entrepreneur, and he's doing it real big. I want you all to welcome Billy Moss to the Entrepreneurship Report.
What's going on? How are you?
Man, I'm so good, man. I'm so glad to have you on my show, man. I've been watching you on your Snapchat, you know, your Instagram, and your social media.
No doubt.
You stay busy, man.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we have to do. In the music industry, you have to, you know, every day you have to figure out something new, a new way to get music out there, to get your brand out there, you know. Because, I mean, the music industry is changing daily.
Yeah, man, I got to honestly say, how do you feel? Like, you've been in the industry for so long. You've been in since 1993, maybe even sooner than that. Okay, 1993, you've been in the music industry. And the music industry, when you started, there was no such thing as YouTube. How do you think YouTube has played a role in the music industry, in the game that's being played right now?
Well, YouTube has played a huge role in changing the industry. So has the internet, period, for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Because it used to be a time where if you wanted to get music, you would go to your Tower Records or, you know, your local record store, and you would buy like a CD or an album, for that matter, to take it even further back. But, you know, nowadays, all you got to do if you're checking for a video is put the title in on YouTube and it's right there, you know. And you know, BET, we used to watch our videos on BET 106 in Park, but now YouTube, you know, any video that you want to watch from around the world is right there. So YouTube has impacted the music industry largely by getting content out to the world, as opposed to just getting content out to your Los Angeles or Baltimore. Now you can get it, you know, your video played in France and Germany, you know what I'm saying, all across the country.
Absolutely. Now, many of you all that just joined in on the broadcast, we are here with Billy Moss. He is the president and the founder and CEO of MBM Entertainment, Strategic Media Entertainment, and he is on the broadcast with us today, and we are talking entertainment. We are so excited to have him on this program. So since then, Billy, since YouTube, we have Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, Pandora Box. What type of roles have these type of social media platforms, these type of music platforms have played a role since YouTube came out? And how do you see that has affected the industry?
Well, with Amazon, here's the thing, you know, with these new social media outlets, it doesn't pay the same. You know, back in the day when you write a song, you would get a percentage of sales. Like, say, for instance, your record came out on a CD, and then you would get a mechanical royalty for that, and then you would get a performance royalty if you're the artist, and then you would get an airplay royalty if it played on the radio, you know? But nowadays, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. What's happening now with, like, a Spotify, you know, it goes to downloads. You download your record, and you may get it's 0.00001. Like, your record would have to play on Spotify maybe four or five times before you get a penny. You understand what I'm saying? One penny, as opposed to the other model where you would get 10 cents for one play. Wow. Or five cents for one play. You know what I'm saying? So it's totally different now. Yeah, so with Amazon and Spotify, now they're making the majority of the money, you know, as opposed to the artist getting a correct royalty. Because if your record plays on Amazon and Spotify, it has to play maybe four or five times before you get a penny. You know what I'm saying? So I know a penny sounds like nothing, but, you know, if your record is playing one time on each station around the world every day or every other hour, those pennies add up, you know what I'm saying? Even though it's not a lot of money, as opposed to getting 5 to 10 cents in this plan around the world, you may make maybe 7 to 10,000 a week, as opposed to 700 to 800 a week. So that's the difference in, you know, rotation and record spins around the world. Things are like totally different now that Spotify and all these digital download situations are in play now. It's a whole different game as far as financing and making money from record sales.
So basically, a long time ago, we used to have to, you used to try to get your video, music video on the BET, on the BET music video top 10, top 20, or you used to try to get your video in the right eyes to actually, in the right eyes of people so they can actually see your music or see you visually play out what your music is talking about. And now for people to hear your music, the major streaming platform is where you want to direct your attention to. But now these things have changed a big game. So as an artist, as a person in the industry, what is something that they need to do, that they need to think about? Do they need to be spending a lot of money trying to get, you know, various ones to get on team, or do they need to work on producing great music?
Well, I think it starts with the song and the music first. You know, that's the beginning. Yeah, you need to create a record that everybody likes, that, you know, it may market to a particular crowd, you know, that a lot of people would like to download, first off. And the thing that's good now, you know, because a lot of record companies are not really in play for the independent artists, is, you know, what you make your record, it's a popular record, you put it online, people download your record, they listen to it. How you make your money now is from merchandising and doing shows. So when people hear your record, then, you know, they're wondering, like, where can I go see this artist? Or where can I go see that artist? There's a lot of new artists that are breaking out now that way. And then when they come to your show, either the venue may pay you X amount of dollars to perform, or you may do a promotional night for free. And a lot of different products that like to be associated with R&B or hip-hop may, like a T-Mobile or like a any Nike tennis shoe or anything like that, they may pay you to be a sponsor for their product and for your brand at that show, and you would make that money, you would make that revenue, you know, and you don't have the record company in the middle. So it does have its perks and benefits.
Wow. So tell me, how was it working with Tyrese Gibson and Adina Howard and Mark Morrison and some of these greats that you work with? How has it been working with them, and what do you think that you learned most about these individual talents that you work with?
Okay, you know what, they were all different, right? So I mean, working with, let me start with Adina Howard, because I kind of, you know, started her in the business. You know, she started with me, she came over to my studio and we recorded some records and got into shopping to a label, and then Elektra Records signed her, and then, you know, our records came out, and, you know, Freak Like Me sold 3 million. So that was Mass Order's single that did well, and it carried the whole album, and I had 4 or 5 songs on there. And then when it came time for her second album, Adina Howard came back, and then me and Jamie Foxx produced T-Shirt and Panties for her, which was her second big hit that she had that kind of drove her career, and then sold like 2 million albums. So that's what was going on for her. And I learned, you know, once you get out in the industry, if you don't continue to grind hard and work hard and continue to put out new music or figure out ways to expand your brand, like, you know, like with Adina, you know, she just did records straight up, you know, but she should have maybe expanded to movie roles or modeling roles or brand association, you know, situations where You know, back then, I think Adidas and FUBU and all that stuff was hot back then. You know, maybe she could have got some merch deals and things like that. And she would have been in a better financial position. But, you know, back at that time, we were all growing up and coming up and figuring out the industry. So by the time I got to Tyrese Gibson, I already knew, let's get him involved with, you know, the modeling situation. Let's get him involved with film and television. You know, I got him involved with Transformers 1 when it first started. That turned out to be huge for him. I worked on the Waist Deep film. I worked on the first Fast and the Furious deal with them. I worked on, it was another film outside of the Fast and the Furious. I'm getting up and looking at the posters on my wall. Annapolis, Waist Deep. So those are other films. And then, so now he's got the music. Well, yeah, you'll make a couple of million doing music, but if you're doing film, now you can make 4 or 5 million. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then you work 3 or 4 months as opposed to doing music. You work the whole year, you tour the whole year or 2 years, and then you come back and you do another record. The numbers are just a little bit different. So that's what I learned. You know what I'm saying? You got to get in business with artists that are 360. You know what I'm saying? Okay, yes, I could sing. Yes, I know how to make a hit record, but then I could act, and then I'm in such great shape, and my look is so cool, I could be a model, and different brands will want to market with me. So that's super important. And that's what I learned about, you know, from the difference between Adina Howard and going into a Tyrese Gibson. And then I went on to work with Jill Scott and Craig David, Slicker Than Your Average, which sold 15 million. And then I started diversifying MBM Entertainment Group, which was the production company, into Strategic Media Entertainment, which is a multimedia company, and we do film and television and music. So I felt what was good for the artist was also great for a company to pursue.
So let me ask you, when you decided to merge off into TV and film and things of that nature, how was that transition? Although it's not far from it, but there's the technicalities of doing film versus doing music is two totally different types of productions. So how has that been?
It was kind of easy for me because, you know, managing Tyrese Gibson and working on his music career, then I had the opportunity, as soon as I went in and was on the set of Transformers, and I seen Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg work on a huge budget type situations. And then I also seen Rondi Curtis from Waist Deep work and do films on a smaller budget type situation. I got a chance to learn from being around the film and television game and being around Jamie Foxx on the Jamie Foxx show. You know, I learned a lot from all of that. You know, so when it came my turn to figure out what we wanted to do in film and television, it came like second nature. Because I understood production, I understood, you know, post-production, I understood, you know, scouting out locations, I understood all of that off top. I understood how to go in and get investors to fund, you know what I'm saying? Where was the money coming from? What was the format and, you know, the script and everything that we had to do, the casting, everything. I had an opportunity to learn all of that. Working with Tyrese.
Wow, so that was a big catalyst you had, like, as far as being in the industry, you've been able to work with your circles, because it is about relationships. So how has it been building these relationships in Hollywood? Because, you know, everyone can be a little bit different, and it's very challenging.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's rough. It's not easy. You got to have thick skin. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes an artist or an actor, they can get beside themselves and they can say things that you may not like. And, you know, I'm a guy from Detroit. You cannot just talk to me any kind of way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Detroit, right.
You know, yeah, I'm Detroit. I've been living out here in L.A. for 22 years, but I'm still a guy from Detroit. And we come up from humble beginnings. And you got to respect folks. And, you know, sometimes these cats out here, that Hollywood thing, you can start feeling like you this person and you can handle, you know, a particular person this way. But, you know, I just sit them down. The good thing, you know, with working with Tyrese and working with Adina, I knew them all before they really had money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was very seldom. Well, you know, when I got in business with Fox, he had money. But Fox was humble. He was pretty cool with it. But, you know, it's other artists, you know, that I've done business with that, hey, you know, I don't want to say no names, but, you know, they had a lot of money and, you know, they let you know and made you feel like you wasn't shit. You know what I'm saying? You were a worker, you know. And I worked with people that had money like Usher. I worked on In the Mix film for Usher. And he totally humble, totally different, nice guy, always remembered your name, always treated you with respect. So, you know,
wow,
you got to have thick skin in the business.
Well, because, you know, a lot of the professionals, you know, once the celebrities get to a certain level, they just kind of feel that they are at this level of entitlement. And they
exactly,
you want to connect with me. I want to, you know, you kind of push you in that place where it's like, don't make me feel like I'm beneath you. Because what I've been finding out, man, Billy, since I've been in the industry myself as well, is that some of the people, the no-name people, are making big moves in the industry now. People you would have never thought had talent, people you never thought had something going on, they was able to produce one, because all it takes is one project. One project and exactly. You in mainstream media real quick. And I want to ask you this, though, Billy. You work with Jada Smith and you work with Usher. You work with Robert Downey Jr. All these major people. And then also, not to say the extent of people, but you also work with major corporations like General Motors, Cadillac, Ford,
right.
Monster Cable, right. Red Bull, Coke. How do a person that's in the industry, let's talk more so in the film and the TV industry, how do artists or people who's trying to get their brand picked up and sponsored by these major corporations, what are some tips that you can give the audience that's listening that they can do to try to shape their brand so that way they can get these big sponsors from these major corporations?
Right. Well, it's how I got in business and made my relationship with a lot of these, like General Motors per se. You know, they were running a campaign where they wanted to take their new Suburban truck, you know, because Escalade was doing super good, but the Suburban wasn't doing as good, right? So they were looking for urban artists to match off with their brand. So, you know, of course, I, you know, submitted Tyrese. They were interested. We sat down. We had a conversation about it. I explained to them that we're working on Transformers right now. And then, you know, General Motors, I brought Mike Jackson and the General Motors team to the set and introduced them to Michael Bay, who was shooting Transformers. And then they put the Suburban truck in the film, and then it was the official truck to drive the staff around and that whole thing. And then we also took the truck and we got with Adidas and dressed Tyrese in Adidas. And then we took the truck and got with Dub magazine and put the rims on it, pimped it out, made it real nice, and put it in some of the magazines that were popular back then. So what I was doing is I was taking products and brand matching them with artists in different situations, film projects that were going on. Like, it just came natural to me, you know, networking, meeting, talking to folks. Here's what I got going on. What do you need? What are your needs inside your company? And once they explained what they had, you know, I had something on my end that made sense for them. So that's kind of how it was working. And that's how I had the opportunity to work with all of those major brands, because, you know, then Coke saw what Pepsi saw what I did for General Motors, and it was like, hey, you know, we want to put our product with hip hop artists too, So, you know, what I did with them is, you know, I got with them and we got with Snoop and we did a whole campaign with that, you know, and that was back when I was consulting for Snoop's management company.
Wow, so you got a lot of expertise. So when you talk about that corporation, so you basically have been able throughout your career is figure out what is the win for everybody involved.
And, exactly.
And so since then, I like what you said when you first started out. You said that when you first started out in the industry and you start working with a name like Adina, you know, a person that was, you know, was basically just new to the industry, but she had a gift and a talent, and you was able to help her and produce some music on her track and work with her for a time being. But the one thing, the valuable lesson that you learned with Adina was that you did not make the same mistake with Tyrese, was you would have spent more time marketing your brand, making the brand a brand. Because I don't think in 1993 that they was talking about brands. I don't believe that was, this is my brand, this is how I'm going to manage my brand in my particular case. So with you now doing that, so now do you do a lot of brand management, strategic marketing with your artist that you work with now?
Yes, I mean, brand management goes hand in hand with a new artist. Now you have to do it. You know, it's super important, because it's not a whole lot of money from just album sales like it used to be. So you have to match that up. You have to take your new artists and then, you know, get a buzz on them, get a following. And if they get like 1 million, 2 million people that's interested in them, then it's some major corporations that's going to be interested in reaching out to your audience base. And then you can say, hey, this new energy drink, Red Bull or whoever, like, come on and sponsor my night. Give me 2,000-3,000 a show or something like that. And we'll put the whole Red Bull banner up behind us when we perform. And then you will reach our audience. And then we'll pass some Red Bull out with the girls with the Red Bull t-shirts on to our audience base. And then that's brand awareness for you. And it's just that simple. You know, it's not like that difficult. It's just bringing people together.
So these are a lot of relationships you built over time. So with these, with new artists, with people who are trying to break into the industry, who's really, you know, been working on, let's say there's an artist out there that's been working on their music for a while. They've been trying to get the right team together and they just have not had no success. They got a great voice. They got great talent. What do you tell that person who's discouraged in their career right now, who's trying to get to that next level?
Well, first off, it's super important for that artist to never give up. You know what I'm saying? You can never give up. You have to always remain focused on your goal, you know, and go out and make relationships and do good business, because the minute that you don't do good business and you're not honest, then it's difficult. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of artists out there that would do anything to get on. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's not the right way. You know, sometimes you got to grind. You have to be loyal to the people that you're in business with. And you gotta stay on the path of being right and doing good business, because the karma come around and you'll be sitting on the sidelines for a long time. Like, I was just sitting around, you know, we were talking about Neo. It took Neo 10 years to get to where he is.
Neo, 10 years. You know what I'm saying? As gifted as he is, it would seem like it would take less time.
Yeah, he's an amazing singer, amazing songwriter, but he paid that dues and he's paid in, and it took him a long time.
And now he has to make it happen. So the individuals that's out there, so those that's listening to this right now, you guys need to be taking notes. You need to be taking back and saying, hey, you may be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. If it took Neo 10 years, and I've been noticing even in award shows and great actors and great actresses, it's taking them 20, 30 years for them to even receive a Grammy or, you know, or major platform awards. But you got to stay in the grind. Somehow you got to stay in the ground. So I want to ask you this, and we're going to wrap this program up. How do my listeners get in contact with you if they want to hire your company to help them with their brand and things of that nature?
Well, it's simple. My email is strategicmediaentertainment@gmail.com. You can, shoot me an email, explain to me what your goals are and what you're looking to do. And then we'll just take it from there. We'll check it out. And, we got the platform, the Mic Live. Send me an email, send me two pictures and one or two of your songs, and we'll book you for the Mic Live. Well, we got the biggest platform in Los Angeles for new artists to showcase.
Wow.
So, they can do that too. And all of that works through my email, strategicmediaentertainment@gmail.com. That's my direct email. And then not only that, my Instagram. You could DM me, inbox me, my Instagram, boss_BillyMoss. That's my IG. I got a Snapchat and a Twitter and all that. Billy Moss is my Twitter. Mr. Billy Moss is my Twitter. So, social media, you can read. It's easy to find me.
Yeah, I know.
Not hard at all.
Listen, I love keeping up with you because I love your Snapchats. I really feel like when people watch people's Snapchats, like I watch your Snapchats, it's very entertaining, but it also shows the diversity of who you work with, and who you come in contact with and who you know and things of that nature. And I said, man, you help a lot of Billy. I see you helping a lot of artists just on your Snapchat. I said, man, I've never met any of those individuals, a lot of them, but they sound great. They sing well. And you helping a lot of people, man. You're doing it big. And I appreciate you being here on the Entrepreneurship Report. I know that a lot of people, I did a broadcast not long ago about breaking into the music industry. And I told them, I gave them some healthy tips on how they can get revenue from what they do. Now, talking to you, I see that we have a lot more. There's a lot more to it. You got to work on your brand. You got to have something presentable. You got to have something that people want. You got to make your brand desirable, and then you got to keep it relevant. And then partnering right. and relationshiping with people that actually see you going or that you want to partner with that can help you. Because I know we've been in contact for a long time, Billy. We haven't did a project together,
absolutely.
But I know that that's going to happen real soon. Real, real soon.
Absolutely. I mean, what would be great for your listeners and your company is you're in Arizona, come on down to Los Angeles, come down to the Mic Live, check out what we're doing. We have a floor-to-ceiling digital screen where we can advertise anything on our stage, and it's 100 feet tall. So all you got to do is send us a picture or, something on your company footage or whatever. We'll put it up. We'll make an introduction that you're here in the building. And we got 500 people, young artists right there, or people that's trying to figure it out inside the entertainment business. They're performing with labels. So Def Jam, Capitol Records, all the major labels come out. Rock Nation, they all come to the mic. R. Kelly has been to the mic. Wiz Khalifa has been to the mic. Snoop Dogg has been to the mic. And Keisha Cole has been to the mic. What's the guy that did Hip Hop LA? I forgot the name of that group. They will kill me. It's a hip hop group from back in the day. Because we have established. Naughty by Nature came and did a show at the mic and just turned it out.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And these artists are coming down like, hey, because they know other new artists, inspiring artists are there. They're coming down and talking to them and doing shows for them for free.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't pay Tretch a dime, and he got up there and did a whole concert, and it was the dopest thing that you've ever seen in your entire life. That's what's happening at the mic.
Wow, you have an all-star. You actually have an all-star event coming up. When is that, April the 19th?
April 19th, we got the Mic Live All-Stars, where we're taking all the artists from 2016 and 2017, the best ones that ever hit our stage, and we're putting the best 10 artists that we ever had on that show. And it's going to be amazing. We have a live band. We have everything, bro. It's a nice spot. You know, we serve dinner. It's sexy.
Now, how much does it cost to get into that? What time does it start? And how much does it cost to get there? And what's the address? How do they get there?
Okay. The address is 12229 Ventura Boulevard, Studio City. So, the doors open at 9 o'clock. Showtime is at 10:30. And it costs $10 to get in if you're there before 10:30. And then after 10:30, it's $20.
Oh, so
that's real reasonable. So if they're artists, if you're a manager, producer, promoter, and you're looking for fresh talent, fresh art to put out there on your platforms, hey, you need to be at the Mic Live on April the 19th. Check out the very best. You know, OD Harris Media. You know, we have our launch party coming up June 24th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Zen Lounge. And so we're going to be there during the BET weekend. And Billy, I'm excited, man. You coming out to the launch party, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be in the house.
Yes, sir. And we're going to come out to April 19th. I'm going to see what I can do. I can't do too much. You know, I got into a little car accident. So, you know, my media game been on straight delay. But I'm gonna come out there. Maybe I can get some exclusive interviews with some of those people. And if you come on out, maybe get some couple of exclusive interviews with you all. Put you on my platform and let's just go to work. Let's get out there. Like you said, it's a daily grind. I'm gonna tell you, Billy, doing media, I gotta constantly be putting out new content, fresh content for everyone to hear and listen. And brother, I wanna thank you so much for coming on my program today on this broadcast. You guys have been listening to Billy Moss. He is the founder, the president, and CEO of Strategic Media Entertainment. He already given you all his information. He's a boss. You guys want to connect with him as soon as you can, even if you got to bounce some things. Now, as I always tell you guys on the Entrepreneurship Report, please do not come asking people for a free hookup. There's no such thing as a hookup, okay? He just hooked you up by saying, make sure you are in the place April the 19th. But we want to make sure that if you want things done right, I always say you got to pay for what you want. You get what you pay for. If it's free, you're going to get something that's free. But if you pay for it, you're going to get what you want. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Entrepreneurship Report with award-winning entrepreneur OD Harris. You've been listening to Billy Moss, the president and founder CEO of Strategic Media Entertainment in Los Angeles, California. Until next time, you guys, I love you guys. I love you guys so much, and share the broadcast.